Blog Talk Radio.
What you guys are about to see is Breakbot and I, we're going to debate. He's taking the side of atheism. He's going to be giving arguments why God doesn't exist. And I'm going to take the side of Christian theism. I'm going to be arguing on the side that God does exist. I'll be giving arguments that God does exist. We're going to keep it around 10 minutes. If he needs more time or if I need more time, we can go a little over. It's not that official. Breakbot has chosen to go first. As soon as you start talking, Breakbot, we'll start your time. And here we go. The topic of the debate, does God exist?
Well, okay, before I begin, everyone hear me? Is my mic too loud, too low, the rest? Okay, it's not too loud or too low for anyone? Just wanted to be sure. Okay, speaker. Sorry. I'm also on a big room, so it's going to be echoey. But, okay, the question, does God exist? Shock of God, I kind of gave background onto that question because it's a very, it's more complicated than you think than saying yes or no. And I could, does God exist? Well, I could say no, but I wanted you to know the context behind my answer because you could go for saying that I'm making a claim that God doesn't exist. No, I want to look deeper into that question because there's questions hidden under that question. There's questions that are we got from that question as well. Because like I said, that when one says, does God exist, that's going to open up a whole can of skepticism and questioning. And Christians are obligated to answer this question. But that's why I kind of wanted to give you my view on this idea of a higher power. Not the specific Christ is his creator in flesh or anything of or was or is. But if you really want my simplistic answer, does God exist? In general, my answer that I'm most comfortable with would be, I don't know. However, if looking into the context of that question and depending who's asking it, like for example, you're a Christian asking me, does God exist? And by asking me, does God exist? You're probably asking me, is Jesus Christ God, which it would be your belief on, your specific belief on God, correct? Is anyone following from what I'm trying to get at here? I just really want this to be a discussion to share ideas, not, like nothing. Because look, if I answer to the question, does God exist? No. Then you ask, are you so sure? And that's the reason I don't have to say no to that question. I say I don't know because I look deeper into that question. Because there's that question as was everything here fine tuned or everything. When someone says everything here is fine tuned, I'm very skeptical about that. Because based on what's observed, everything sometimes is not fine-tuned based on diseases, based on catastrophic events in the universe and on our planet. You may say that God testing us or some other excuse to back that up. But again, once it's fine-tuned, so I guess you could say it's organized chaos. I mean, but understand that when someone says it's fine-tuned, that Please understand that some people would be skeptical of that when people look at the mishaps in our existence. Onto what God, okay, sorry, I understand, but it's probably going to be difficult to have a debate because even though it's such a simple question, what the background behind it is so complicated. And taps into all those topics. Shaka, did you follow what I was trying to get at? The question, like, I don't know a suitable answer in your case. I mean, that usually goes into the realm of agnosticism, but the reason I call myself an atheist is because when you shared to me the claim that Jesus Christ is God, the supreme creator of the universe, I'll say, no, I don't believe that. So I'm an atheist to your specific God. And like I said, if a Muslim asks me, do you believe Allah or God is the creator, their interpretation of God is the creator of the universe and Muhammad is his prophet, I'll say no. So I'm an atheist to that specific belief. That's generally how I view it, I mean, like, in those regards. So, Shaq, did you, Shaq, I just wanted to see, also, like, we're still going on this, right? That's right, yeah. So, Shaq, in my response to that, this may seem irrelevant, but, like, you as a person, I'm not, the purpose of, I want to say briefly the purpose of me being here. It's not to pwn anyone. It's not to, like, try to humiliate anyone. It's simply for discussion and sharing and discussion views of different kinds of people. You're entitled to whatever things you say, but I'm really not a fan of this whole partition, like this thing of partitioning human beings, like us versus them type of mentality, like you atheists, you Christians, you atheists. No, the whole purpose of here is to, like, get your actual opinion instead of this whole charade thing, and to actually see what you believe too. I mean, you have an alternative, you all probably know this came to be, and I do at times too, so. Okay, actually, I'm if I could try to put it more simply, because it's very complicated, I could say that generally what I'm arguing is that I don't know about you. I mean, there's verses in your Bible that says that all human beings know God exists, so technically, by your belief, all atheists are in denial of God existing. But I could repeat that argument too, like, it could become an argument because if you say you believe God exists, and I say, no, I don't, well, the Bible says you do, well, I don't, yeah. And that's usually a question a position that's kind of blown me away, because it's kind of scary too, because it forces theists to presume that they know you based on the Holy Book. So like you make the claim that I know that about this that I need now because of my sin and because of my desire to sin, which is silly because I feel pain a lot, so I wouldn't want to burn in hell forever. So if I was sure that about existed I'd be an idiot to demand God. So that's generally my argument against that position. But again, there's some, I don't want to stray away from that whole thing that God exists. But Shaq, again, did you get what I was trying to get at? Well, I think you could go ahead and dissect the points I made and like ask me questions on why I made those, and then so forth. I mean, I don't really need 10 minutes for I couldn't really make the arguments that you guys make, because I was a Christian too at one point. And I do it to myself on purpose when doing these thought experiments, because at times I try to have the ability of not following this issue. But, okay. Okay, well, I'm going to be done now, and you could go ahead and respond to the points that I made and, like, ask me about them and whatnot. So here you go.
Hey, Breakbot, we do appreciate you coming in here, because I think when people hear this, they'll realize that there really is no reason to believe that God does not exist. You didn't really give any arguments for atheism. I think the room would all agree that you just claim to be agnostic. You said God could exist, he may not exist, you just don't know. I've recorded it. You might have got nervous, but when you play it back, you actually said you don't know if God exists or not. So at best, you're trying to posit agnosticism. But also, okay, he's typed in yes. So, I recorded it, so you'll hear it. But let me go through what some of the things you said, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we didn't even hear one reason to believe that God does not exist, not even one. But what I'd like to bring up, and I won't go through all the arguments because I know you guys hear the debates over and over and over, but let's go through, I'm going to fly through 13 of them, the mind-body dualism, how we have a mind. This goes against atheist naturalism. Number two, the demonic realm, ghost demonic activity. There's tons of proof and evidence for this. Objective moral values. If God does not exist, then objective moral values would not exist. And atheists and theists agree on that. Louis Anthony said any argument from skepticism against objective moral values must be stronger than the reality of objective moral values. And she's an atheist. She admits that objective values exist. If God does not exist, then objective moral values would not exist. But objective moral values do exist. It follows inescapably, therefore, that God exists. On atheism, you can't ground objective moral values. The cosmological argument. All evidence shows the universe had a beginning. It cannot be a material cause. It has to be timeless, an immaterial cause. We know God is spirit. So using Occam's razor, the more rational, plausible conclusion is that God created the universe, not the atheist argument that nothing did it. I know you didn't say that, but you're more like positing agnosticism. On the fine-tuning, you said that people say everything is fine-tuned. I don't know anyone that says everything is fine-tuned. What they're talking about, my friend, if you go to shotgunnow.net and click links, they're talking about the life-permitting constants. There's some constants. I've counted between 30 and 40 of them. And if you go to shotgunnow.net and click links, you can see a list of them there. You are right. I agree with you that the universe is fine-tuned for life here on our planet. There would be no life without the life-permitting constants. Robert Jastrow of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, get this, Breakbot, he said the fine-tuning is the most powerful evidence for the existence of God ever to come out of science. Bart Ehrman, who's like an agnostic, he is not pro-Christian. He's not pro-God. He says that the fine-tuning is the most powerful argument against atheism, why atheism still hasn't been proven after centuries. Let's see what else I can talk about real quick because I don't want to. The ontological argument. It is possible that a maximally great being exists. You agree with that. If it is possible that a maximally great being exists, then a maximally great being exists in some possible world. And if a maximally great being exists in some possible world, then it exists in all possible worlds. And thus, as you carry it through, the maximally great being exists in the actual world. So an atheist would have to show that it's impossible for God to exist, given the ontological argument. And then Jesus Christ, you know what I like to remember, Breakbot, is the word alive. A is for the appearances. Historians agree, the majority of them, that there were appearances of Jesus Christ. Gart Ludeman, who's an atheist, said that the disciples did have appearances of Jesus Christ alive after his death. And he's an atheist. Then L is for the low status of women. In all the Gospels, it is the women that are the first to arrive at the tomb. A fictional story would never use women because women's testimony was not really as valid as a man's testimony. Any fictional account of the empty tomb being found by the women would have used men instead. You know, because if you're going to try to convince people of something, why would you use women? It's like shooting yourself in the foot. The fact that it's the women that arrive at the tomb in all the Gospels, no contradiction at all, it can best be explained that they really were. And the disciples had written down what to them, to the male disciples, must have been a very embarrassing moment. I is for the immediate proclamation of the resurrection. Atheists will say, well, there was a legendary theory, and, you know, it took hundreds and hundreds of years for the story to be spun that Jesus rose from the dead. No, it was immediate proclamation of his resurrection. So it's not enough time for legendary theory. Then we have the voluntary suffering. Would you die for a lie? You have heard some people say, well, people dying for things that are not true. But the fact of the matter is that the argument is no one in here, even Breakbot, my friend, you would agree that the disciples really believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you and I really believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then you and I would be willing to die for Jesus Christ. Now, you and I might be wrong. Let's be very skeptical and say, well, we could be wrong, but the fact is we believed it. And the reason why people become Christians also is they look at these disciples' belief. Nobody, not even you and I, my friend, would question that the disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead, so much so they died horrible deaths. The majority of them died horrible deaths. And then E is for the empty tomb. The majority of historians, Breakbot says, our subjective beliefs have no effect on reality. Well, I would disagree on that. If someone has a subjective belief, they can interact with the world, and they can change the reality. So that I don't know why you put that there. But anyway, so E is for the empty tomb. Liberal scholars and even conservative scholars, New Testament scholars, agree on the empty tomb. Okay, how much time have I had? I don't want to go over time. And then we have prophecies that came true. Look, 1948 prophecy of Israel being gathered again to herself by Isaiah. Viva, what is it? Isaiah 53, which talked about, a lot of people thought it was talking about Israel and talked about Jesus Christ. So we have prophecies that came true. Near-death experiences are also proof and evidence that there's something else besides the natural world. And then Christians experience God in reality. We have experiential reality. So, and then I always bring up DNA is also empirical proof of design. But here's a Breakbot. Let me say this. Obviously, at least I've provided positive arguments for God's existence. But you haven't any argument, not even one, against God's existence. At best, what you've said is you don't know. At best, that's agnosticism. But let me go through what you said out of respect to you, okay? You said you don't know, and then you said everything is fine-tuned. No one says everything is fine-tuned. I don't know why you said that. What else did you say? Oh, and then you said, Breakbot, I just want to caution you, be very careful. All right, I'll get off the mic and let you respond, too. I'm almost done. Be very careful to say that you're an atheist just to a specific God, because the definition of atheism is that you reject all gods. So that's just some silly, stupid thing that an atheist said in debate one time. Not you, Breakbot, but there's an atheist, Austin Dacey. That guy's a complete idiot. He's a joke. He's the one that talks about because his friend didn't make him a chocolate cake, therefore God doesn't exist. If you go to my channel and go to shockforever.com and type in Austin Dacey, the guy's a complete nut job. He says that Christians are atheist. He's just an atheist with one more God that he doesn't believe in. But that's just a misunderstanding of terms. An atheist that says Christians are atheists don't understand what atheism is. Atheism is the rejection of all gods. So to call someone a Christian and then also say they're an atheist is ridiculous. You can't be an atheist and a Christian, because atheism rejects all gods. So I wouldn't use that. That's just some silly, stupid saying that Austin Dacey said. But Austin Dacey got his clock cleaned in debate. If you want to see Austin Dacey lose debate, you definitely don't use Austin Dacey's argument. Go to shockforever.com, type in Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, A-U-S-T-I-N, and then D-A-C-E-Y, and he got decimated in debate. And then here's another thing, too, Breakbot, that you said. You said, well, I'm not into this us versus them thing. But you know what's interesting? Jesus was into the us versus them thing. Jesus talks about on the day of judgment how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, Viva and Actuarial, don't you think it's unusual that it'd be sheep and goats? anyways, I had to say that. So what's interesting is Jesus does separate. He says that he is going to separate them. And get this, Breakbot. Breakbot, I have one question for you. It's a very easy question. When you get on, you could talk about it. It's not a difficult one. I want to know if when you were a Christian, if you admitted you were a sinner. You don't have to type it in, but when you get on, you can get it. I want to know if when you said you were a Christian, if you confessed that you were a sinner worthy of hell, like all of us believers do. Hey, Invoco. I guess I'm done. Guys, I went through 11 arguments for the existence of God, and I didn't even miss 150 million brutal murders, rapes, and atrocities under the evil atheist regimes of Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge, and more. So since we haven't heard any arguments against God's existence, and we've heard at least 11 for God's existence, this is why Christianity is still growing and atheism is now declining.
Worldwide.
All right. Breakbot, I'll get off the mic. And when you get on, if you could say when you were a Christian, did you confess that you were a sinner? All right, go ahead.
Well, I really wanted to respond to your saying those different points. Where do I begin? Because already I'm skeptical. I could cherry pick one, but I wish to go in order. So can you please list the first one? Chris, one, type in the first one. Real quick, so, because I remember what you said on each of those points. So would it be okay if I vocal with each of those points? My response to them, would that be okay? Mind and body dualism. Thank you, Ninja. Well, see, the idea that there's some sort of physical-like substance that's not physical, which would be a spirit, ectoplasm. The Christians don't claim ectoplasm exists, but, you know, people who believe in dualism do. I mean, not all people who believe in dualism are necessarily Christians. But I mean, physical matter in itself is already a complicated matter. But to suggest that this separate, I don't know, you can't really call it stuff because stuff would describe something physical. But I'm going to anyway, I mean, spiritual stuff that you can't detect it by any known means except through, I guess, your feelings when the Holy Spirit enters you or something. But it just boggles my mind to suggest that something that that's immaterial yet has material-like substances at times, because usually people attribute the spiritual to things like demon possession or miraculous healings and so forth. But experiences too, but feelings are part of the experiences. I mean, I remember feeling that before, feeling of being saved, you know, when everybody's praying over you and like saying everything's going to be all right, you're saved, you're not to be ashamed and stuff like that, you're clean. I perceive that to be spiritual at the time because it felt good, I felt clean and this and that, even though I was like 12 or 13 years old, so. Okay, that's my response to this whole idea of dualism is that, what? I'm sorry, I'm not to just blow it up, but like, it just, again, that, the idea of dualism just offers more questions rather than answers. And questions that may never be answered because you can't really prove dualism. And the fact that there's very specific claims about dualism as there is to God, I mean, just like Christians say that you have a soul and a spirit too, but a different sect of Christianity may have a different theory of what a spirit and a soul, the characteristic that is, and in different religions too. So that, I really wanted to get to that part during the last part, but could someone list number two as well, please? I really just want to go over, like, my, because I've actually heard all those arguments, but I have my responses to them. I'm not saying that I applaud all those arguments. No, I just want to just give my own response to them and why I fairly am skeptical. Okay. Ghost manifestivity. Again, please don't take this as a cop-out, but like the claims to a God, there's so many claims to the supernatural. Even in my hometown, we have this thing called La Llorona, that this ghost lady who wanders the canals because she drowned her kids, and like you might see her crying off her children. And my family is Christian, non-denominational Christian. They don't believe in La Llorona because of their perception of demon and ghosts that But certain churches can believe that demons are wandering the earth, and my family's church does believe that. But they don't believe in things like ghosts, because you're either in Abraham's bosom, the storage place for all souls, which has a day of judgment. And you may disagree with their perception of hell or heaven, but that's their perception of what it is. So you may have a different one, and I know a whole lot of churches, because I've wandered churches here, and they certainly have their own. You know, some churches do believe in this, while others don't, some do. And again, I don't take it as a cop-out, but like, there's so many claims about ghosts and demons that none of them are really absolute, because sometimes they conflict with each other. Let me read the responses from you. Well, Shyamalan, yes, but like, ghosts and demons are the same thing. Well, again, the definition of ghosts that I was getting at is like dead people. Like you die and your spiritual substance doesn't neither go to heaven nor hell. It's trapped on earth. So you, for some reason, haunts a house, I guess, that you were murdered in. Or like in, I don't know, that movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, that you try to make amends or something like that. But that type of definition of ghosts. Now, ghosts as demons, that's actually the response to what my family's church would say, that any supernatural activity like that, demons, it's not ghosts. What do you know what I'm saying? Dead people don't stay on earth. They either go to heaven or hell, or they, yeah. But that's just my response to that, is that, like, which claim about ghosts and demons? I mean, the diversity of human culture is that there's so many. To each and every one of these claims, there's so much like views on them that you don't know which one to actually believe in. I'm sorry for that. Silence. Whoa. Oh, I didn't know them. That's actually my neighbor's laptop. And that's a siren. So it's not a ghost. Hey,
and if that isn't an omen, I don't know what is. I'm just kidding. Hey, Breakbot, you know how you were saying there's no ghost? Let me just do the ghost voice.
Get out of the house. Get out of the house.
Good seeing you again, Actuarial. Hey, you know, Breakbot, can I tell you something funny? And then Viva wanted to kind of hop on. You guys can talk. Breakbot, we had this guy come in, and he logged in with the name Levian Satanist. And he says, he was typing in, "I'm here to debate you, Shock." He wanted to debate me. But, you know, when he was typing it in, he said, all right, Volko, yeah, we will. He said, remember, Volko, where Peter asked to see the Father, they asked to see the Father, and he said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." And Jesus refers himself to the Son of Man. And remember when the high priest says, you know, "How much longer are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus says that he is, and then he talks about coming in the clouds with the angels, etc. And with the high priest tears his clothes because it was blasphemy. Well, what's blasphemy? If a man claims to be God and he's not, that would be blasphemy. So there's really tons of evidence. Oh, and then Volko, you asked a very good question. And I want to talk fast because I want Viva to get on and talk. But Volko, have you noticed that in Scripture it talks about Peter and everyone else, and they're really just sinners? Same thing with Islam and Muhammad and all these guys, the Buddha. You know, all these are just people that are men that are sinners. But it's interesting, when you read about Jesus Christ, you don't see anywhere where he is sinned. He even says, "Which of you can convict me of sin?" But okay, let me hurry because Viva to get on. But Breakbot, are you listening, Breakbot? You're going to crack up, man. This was funny. We had this guy come in, and he was a Levian Satanist. So he was typing in the chat, and when he was typing, it was all text, so you couldn't hear his voice. And so I pictured him when he typed, he was like this. He's like,
"Shock of God,
I'm here to debate you. I'm a Levian Satanist.
And he's all like evil, right? So then I'm like, okay, well, do you want to go first on the mic? And he goes, I'll go first, right? So I'm like, all right. So he gets on the mic, Breakbot, I'm not making this up. Here's how it happened, okay? He gets on the mic and he goes, okay, Shock, I'm going to kick your butt in this debate. First of all, it's stupid, and he's like a little kid, right? And then all of a sudden you hear his mom, Jimmy, Jimmy. And then he's like, Shock, I got to go. We're having pizza, and that's my favorite. But I'm picturing he's going to get on,
I'm a Levian Satanist, and I'm here to make your day hell.
And he gets on, he's like, hello, hello. Okay, so we're going to let, hey, Breakbot, you can get back on, but Aviva wanted to get on and tell us something funny. And let me get off the mic because I'm dying to hear it.
Oh, no. Aw, man. There we go. Hey, okay, there it goes. There it goes. Now it finally started working. Hey, Shock, this is for you. You know what's really funny? How many times, Shock, do you always hear about uncertainty claims, right? Like, they'll say, well, we don't know if there's really UFOs or Bigfoot or all this other stuff. But how, if they're making a claim of uncertainty, then where does their certainty lie that they really are atheists? Think about that. It's like, where does that certainty come from? Wow, good point. It's like, it's to me, it's like, oh my God, I'm good. It's like, you know, we don't know if Bigfoot exists, but yet I am certain that I'm an atheist. But you're making uncertain claims. Doesn't make any sense. But yeah. And then they're saying we don't make claims, but yet we're making uncertain claims, which cannot be proven or, it's not my fault that they don't know the difference between agnosticism and or non-theological cognitivism, that they can't really tell you the difference between them both. But atheism is a sense of a rejection, which rejection has to give you, it has to have Shock. In order for them to reject something, they have to provide sufficient ground and evidence or proof why or reasons why they reject that. It's called the burden of refutation. But making an uncertain claim doesn't land you to certainty. Oh, there's this new thing that I got somebody trapped, Shock. And I know you already know this argument, but I thought it was something really... I said, because of the nature of existence, Shock, that a person cannot semi-exist. So if I say my cat Turbo exists, the question if he really exists is a yes or a no question. Because if it's in between, then it violates something called the law of excluded middle. So the question of God, if he exists or not, is an absolute question. So it's a yes or a no. So I ask them, does God exist? And then they squirm so badly. Yeah, so they're like, no, it's a false dichotomy. And then I'm like, so you're saying you can violate the law of excluded middle. Can you give me a third option of how someone can semi-exist? Either I have a friend named John or I don't have a friend named John. You know, either you, when you're asking UFOs, the question if UFOs really do exist is a question of reality itself. Yeah, and I just thought, I thought that was pretty funny, Shock. Isn't that the funniest thing? It's like, you're uncertain, you make all these uncertain claims, but you are certain that you're an atheist. You're an agnostic. agnostic atheist, which is even funnier. Which does make sure, because you are uncertain about your atheism. It makes sense, right? Shock. Yeah, they are uncertain about their atheism. I'm uncertain, therefore I'm an atheist. Well, that'd be agnosticism. I keep forgetting. Yes, but the one... Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting. Do you know the difference between physics and metaphysics? One is outside. It's kind of a, what was that word I'm trying to find? I know the difference between them, but yeah. It's like a metaphysical or something beyond or something that is up above. Something that doesn't move. But, I mean, there's something that's not... I'm struggling with it. I have it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say it. I know what it is, but anyway, I forgot. But, yeah, anyway, Shock, I wanted to say that. You know, if you're more than welcome to bring out your what you have to say, because it'd be really interesting. Because I thought that was really interesting. And so Nightmare, he also uses the argument is that they'll say, oh, I'm not sure if there is a God. But then he goes... And then they'll go like, well, but that is like, but it's impossible. He goes, but are you certain about that? Yeah, and I just thought that was pretty funny. He goes, are you sure about that? And then they get mad, and they're like, yeah, of course I'm sure. So you're not sure, but how are you sure about that? And they get so mad, they get huffy and puffy with Knight. But Knight's such a nice guy, but he demonstrates a good point. That, you know, and that's what I got the modification. I was like, but yeah, I just bridged the gap and put it more eloquent. Anyway, here you go, Jonathan. And if you want to say anything, Shock, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan, my brother, were you going to go? Were you going to get on? Can I show something real quick, Jonathan? Okay, well, let me get off because I know you were in line. And then, Breakbot, can I talk right afterwards? I'll talk as fast as I can. And then, Breakbot, you can talk a long time and stuff. But, Breakbot, all right, thanks. All right, let me get on. Hey, Jonathan, you know what I think it is you hit the mic at the same time. So if your mic's not working, I do that too sometimes. You got to go out and go. I have heard of it, Viva. So I think you may have to go out and come back in. But let me try again. If it doesn't work, then just click sign out, sign in. All right. Hey, Jonathan, you're probably going to have to sign out. But let me fly through this real quick. Just sign out and sign back in, and it'll work. But I wanted to show you guys something also. You know, Viva, how they say – I'll go real fast, Jonathan. You know how they say they lack belief in God? Like they'll say they lack a belief in God or whatever, right? Well, that's not really an argument, but even using their argument, here's what's really funny, right? It's like self-defeating. Like, I'll say, give me some arguments, you know, that would show that atheism is true, or at least would make it more plausible, right? And let me straighten out the line here because I wanted to show you this. So I'll show them this, right? Let's say that the person says they're an atheist, right? And let me kind of go like this. I know you guys seen this before, but I'm kind of recording, so I wanted to show people this on the YouTube. And let's say that, let's call this Islam over here on the right. The atheists will say that they reject the Islamic God, you know, they lack a belief in the Islamic God. Whatever, right? And that's fine. But I think what they do is they do more harm than good because the Muslim can use the same argument against them. The Muslim could say, well, I lack belief in atheism, I don't believe it's true. So what the atheist would have to do is give arguments for why Islam is not true, or Christianity, or whatever they want to do, right? The Hindu, H stands for Hindu, right? The Hindu can use the same argument against the atheist. If the atheist says, well, how do you know Hinduism is true? Can you imagine, Viva, if the Hindu said, well, I just lack belief in atheism? The atheist would just mock him to shame, but that's what the atheist is doing to the Hindus. If you ask an atheist, well, why don't you, you know, believe in Islam or Hinduism, whatever, they'll say they lack belief in Islam or Hinduism or whatever. But that's not an argument. And here's another thing, too, is how can the atheist prove they don't believe in God when the first page of Romans says they do believe in God? Go ahead and read the first page of Romans. It says they do believe in God. So the argument fails so many different ways. The first way it fails is because the atheist can't prove that he doesn't believe in God. Scripture says he does believe in God. And then the second way that it fails, on the second level of failure, is that their argument is self-refuting, because the guy that's a Muslim can say, well, I lack belief that atheism is true, therefore Islam is true. You know, they can say some stupid thing like that. So these atheists that say, when you ask them, give me a good argument, what proof and evidence do you have that atheism is accurate and correct? Give me a good argument, why is atheism true? They don't have any. Viva, I got to tell you something. When you get a chance, if you go to my YouTube channel and type in the most, you know how you can click most, not most viewed, but most recent video? Some lady that's a Christian on YouTube, she emailed me and she goes, Shock, this Christian debated Matt Dillahunty and he asked him your question, you know, what evidence do you have that atheism is true? And you know what Matt Dillahunty said? Well, I don't even know if you could say it's true. Like that other guy that was in here, Homo sapien, that Homo sapien guy, he said that atheism isn't rational. We're like, what? He goes, I'm not going to defend atheism because it's not a rational belief. It's just something that it's a lack of belief. Oh, my gosh. You know what, my atheist friends, when you guys grow up, you're going to be really ashamed that you were atheist. I'm just telling you. Atheism, Viva, would you say this is an honest evaluation of atheism, that atheists just don't think? They just don't think. Because if you really think it through, okay, let me use Mr. Fox, my friend Mr. Fox here, as an example. Mr. Fox, are you an atheist? I think he is, but I want to you'd say so. Exactly, Viva. Okay, Mr. Fox, if someone asked you, stick with me, Mr. Fox, if someone asked you, give me your best argument for why atheism is true, what would you say to them? Let's say you were in a debate and, oh yeah, Matt, yeah, Cliff Nitchell. Yeah, you know, Simon, I emailed him and I asked him for permission to put his video on my YouTube channel. That guy's so cool. He said I could do it. I did do it, Simon. As a matter of fact, I put a button there where people can click it and sub to him. Okay, Fox says, remember when I asked him, for his best argument why atheism is true, Mr. Fox says, and this is why people leave atheism. This is what he said. And Mr. Fox, you're here anonymously, so no one's going to know who you are. Mr. Fox's argument for atheism is this. Then I would say that the question makes no sense due to atheism being a negative definition. Oh, you atheist. He goes, and he types it, I'd stand by this any day. Mr. Fox, listen, my friend. Can you imagine Mr. Fox is in a debate, right? And he's having to go ahead and give arguments why atheism is true, and he doesn't do it. Well, let me do this. Jonathan, I think, is trying to get his mic working. Are there any atheists in here that would like to answer that question? Give me an argument, your strongest argument, why atheism is true, why you believe it's true. Crickets are chirping. Right now there's like a tumbleweed flying by. There's an old coal miner saying, "Shock, they don't have no proof and evidence." See you later, Princeton. Now, Mr. Fox says it doesn't make sense to talk about atheism being true because there is no claim in atheism. So, Mr. Fox, atheism is just like a rock. It's just useless. All right. Hey, if you want to stick with that, he's saying it doesn't make sense to talk about atheism being true. Yeah, Simon, he's strumming a banjo. Yeah, you know what? Whenever I ask atheists for some proof and evidence that atheism is true, what happens is they come in here and I ask them, and then all of a sudden outside my window, there's like a tumbleweed blowing by. And there's like a coal miner there, and he's like, "Shock, there ain't no proof and evidence around here. These atheists don't have any." All right, nobody? Oh, my gosh, am I the only moderator in here? I hope not. Guys, am I the only moderator in here? Dang it. Great. No, I don't do that temp mod stuff. Well, I guess I could tell you some of our – I have Gabe. I guess I could tell you – oh, yeah, BreakBot's going to get on. I guess I could tell you – hey, BreakBot, can I ask you a question? Just pretend you're an atheist because you said you're an atheist, right? But then you said you don't know if God exists. BreakBot, how would you answer this question? What proof and evidence do you have that atheism is accurate and correct? And I'll get off and wait for this brilliant response.
Well, is my mic too low or too high? I had to adjust it on the dials without it. Well, Sean, that's perfect. Okay, well, I know your usual response by atheists or others or agnostics defending the atheists or whatever is that it's a nonsensical question, but I'll try to answer it anyway. Is there proof and evidence for atheism? Well, the fact that supposedly non-believers exist, I guess, would be proof and evidence. I mean, the fact that there's people that claim to not believe in God, and specifically your God in particular. However, that does contradict that Roman verse that says otherwise. I mean, and that's interesting. And guys, you don't remember when I actually mentioned that you guys had said this before, that there's this verse that you guys quoted one time that said that there's no such thing as non-believers really. Well, it doesn't say that specifically, but it says that there's no such thing as non-believers, that all people know Jesus is God or that there is a God. But the context that I get from that Roman verse is that it says that every human being alive knows that Jesus is God, I guess, or at least those who even know who Jesus is. I mean, like would an isolated tribesman who's never made contact with Christendom know that who Jesus even is? I mean, he might believe in a higher power or God, but Jesus Christ specifically? That's actually an interesting verse, a disturbing verse, because, like, what could I do to say that I don't believe in God? Because they'll say to me, actually, that little verse of Romans says you do. And that's kind of, like, mind-boggling, because if I knew God existed, specifically your God that tortures people, I mean, that would send me to hell to suffer and burn and choke and cry forever, why would I be in denial of your God? I mean, for other things, like my fear of pain generally, like, avoids me from, I don't know, like, going anything that might be dangerous. And And for to suggest for me to be in denial of the truth because of my feelings towards him, I mean, it's absurd. If I knew for sure your specific God existed, I'd do anything I can to avoid hell. I mean, that's why it's a disturbing... I mean, that's just my opinion. It's disturbing to me because even though I'm trying my best to have a discussion, like, I suddenly am in denial of this God, and I don't care about burning in hell forever. I'm still just going to be in denial because I'm stubborn. I mean, it would scare me too. I mean, come on, it's burning forever. And I wouldn't be stupid enough if I knew for sure, as it says in Romans, that I know God exists. I wouldn't be in denial. Because usually my stance on truth is that I don't care if truth is unpleasant or pleasant, I'll accept it. And if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and if you don't accept him, you burn in hell forever, if that was absolutely true, I wouldn't deny it. Now you may say that, well, why do you deny a piece of evidence? And if not, that's the whole point. I really want to go back to those 3 points that you were making. I mean, those 11 points, like one by one, because I want to see my response why I reject them. But did you think God was just to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, looking into that story, God would have not destroyed it had there been at least one, well, let's say at least 10 righteous people, because, you know, Abraham kept asking, will you spare the city if there's at least 40? There was not even one but Lot's family. If that God existed, because for one reason, whatever God does that is right, whatever decision your God makes, if he is in fact real, it doesn't matter what I think. It was right for him to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because he wanted to, because it was wicked unto him, and it was wicked to go, because ultimately rape and sodomy and rape are really bad things. We have different views on why those things are bad, but for me, I wouldn't want to be raped or sodomized, so that's generally why those things are bad to me. To you, it's because God says it's wrong. Again, going into that, if your God existed, whatever he wants, man, like, it's his universe. So, like, it doesn't matter our subjective opinions. If you don't like the fact that humans suffer forever and hell, that's your problem. I mean, it's God's universe. But again, I just want to touch on that very disturbing verse that makes you guys think that everyone knows that Jesus Christ is God, but are still in denial, because does that make sense? Well, what I'm trying to say do you understand why I think that claim is absurd, that I would be in denial of Jesus Christ being God if I knew for sure he existed? That's why I was saying I'm not sure if it is. Now let's go into a thought experiment. Maybe I'm saying I'm not sure God exists, hoping that maybe God will show me mercy. No. No excuse will happen to God, because God's law is absolute. If I rejected Jesus Christ, no matter what, if he exists, I ultimately suffer the consequences. There's no excuses, generally. But again, going back to that, I don't believe your God exists, and I don't believe a higher power for sure exists. These are two separate claims, because I could say for sure I don't believe in your God, but for a more pluralistic, deistic view on this higher power, I could honestly say I don't really know for sure. I'm highly skeptical about it. I highly doubt a higher power exists for my own reasons, and you may want to hear them or you may not want, but that's just me. I doubt that a higher being, because it offers more unanswered questions than answers, unfortunately, for me at least. Why don't you believe your God exists? That's very clear. Because I reject the supernatural.
Hey, Breakbot. I'm glad you're talking, but I kind of was typing something in there. Okay, I don't do a dual mic, because the dual mic lags the room. BreakBot, I can't find anything in the Bible where God is unjust. And I asked you about Sodom and Gomorrah. You said no, he was just to do that. And by the way, very good memory. That was awesome the way you went through it, where you said, if I can find 10 righteous, and so very good memory, man. I don't see anywhere where God is unjust. Now, I do see where you and I are unjust. But I, you know, we're sinners. You and I both admitted that we're sinners. So I do see where you and I are unjust. But here's the thing that I wanted to show you guys on it, and I'm going to use the whiteboard for this, okay? See, you would probably agree with me, BreakBot, that to reject Jesus Christ is sin. When you actually read Scripture, it's a sin to reject Jesus Christ. And so check this out. I'm going to read from a John 3:16, right? That itself is a sin. So Jesus says, and I want to draw something for you guys here. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." Now, what some folks believe is they'll say, "Oh, that's baptism," and then some folks believe, no, that's when you're a baby and you're that water sack. And I tend to believe that baptism is good, but I notice what it says. He says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, do you guys know that Aerosmith song, "Dream On"? I want you guys, when you go to shotgunl.net, listen to it, and there's like a little hidden Bible passage in it. You know how he says, BreakBot, he says, "Now I know nobody knows where it comes and where it goes." That's from the Bible. And he says, "Maybe tomorrow the good Lord take you away." Check this out. Look what Jesus says. He says, "You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You cannot tell where it comes and where it goes." So the next time you hear "Dream On," but here's the way I look at it, BreakBot. Are you good, like in school? Remember we would do like track and field? Were you kind of good in the long jump? I was better like at long distance running. But the long jump, I was like average. But BreakBot, let's say you and I are on this cliff right here on the left. Okay, that's you right there, BreakBot. And then I'm over here next to you, okay? And BreakBot, God's standard is right here. God's standard's on the right, absolute perfection, no sin. Which, of course, you and I, we may have our disagreements, but we both agree that we both sinned. After all, you admitted you have sinned, and I've admitted I have sinned. So God's standard is absolute perfection. He has to judge sin. So you and I, let's say you and I are good friends, and we are, and sin is falling short of God's standard. Oh, Homo sapiens back. Homo sapien, I think, I was wishing you would have been here earlier so we could debate. So check this out. And Homo sapien, I'm going to throw you in this group too, okay? So Homo sapiens there on the left, and BreakBot's there, and I'm there. Okay. Hey, Homo sapien, were you good in like track and field, like the long jump? Okay, math wants to be there too. Okay. Okay, so Homo sapien, you were like me. So Homo sapien and I, we try to reach God's standard, which is over here on the right. See it right here? But we try to do it, but so here's Homo sapien. Well, I'll go first, Homo sapien. I'll take the plunge first. Okay. So I go to do it, and I go to jump, and I fall. I can't make it across the cliff, right? So here's you, Homo sapien. Homo sapien's better jumper than me, right? He sins less in his lifetime, let's say. And he jumps a little bit further, better than me, but he still doesn't reach God's standard. Now, don't you guys think it would be dumb of me and Homo sapien and I, to be arguing about who sinned less, even though he's a better person than me. You know, we both fall short of God's standard, right? Now let's go to math. Oh no, Breakbot, you're next. Breakbot is not as good as Homo sapien, but better than me. He jumps. He tries to reach God's standard, and he falls. And the fact of the matter is, all 22 of us in the room fail God's standard, me included. And so here's math. Math says, I'm going to show you guys how to do it, but math sucks more than any of us at jumping. No, I'm kidding. Math does better than us. But he still falls short of God's standard, okay? Now, don't you guys think that it's stupid for all of us here to be arguing about who's better than the other when God's over here saying, hey, guys, hey, fellas, you're saying you've all fallen short of God's standard. So Breakbot and I think Homo sapien, we would all agree that religion's not the answer. Here's what religion does. What religion does is they'll do this. Religion tries to build like a ladder. Well, let me kind of do it like a little ladder, you know. Religion tries to build like a ladder to God's standard through like dietary laws and rules and things to reach perfect good, perfect beauty, perfect holiness, things like that. But it fails, right? So religion's not the answer. What does atheism do? Atheism is like the ostrich. Atheism is like the bird that just puts its head in the sand and ignores the problem. So I got a little more respect for religion than I do atheism, but both of them fall short. But then along comes Jesus Christ. Jesus did not sin. He meets the standard. Yeah, it ignores the cliff, exactly. He meets the standard of God's standard. But you guys remember Breakbot? You remember when Satan gets Adam and Eve to sin, and God says right there in Genesis, he prophesies, it's like a little prediction of Jesus Christ, he says, you will bruise his heel, but you know he's going to crush your head. And this was like a shadow of Jesus Christ coming to the earth to go on the cross. Remember in Egypt when the Exodus out of Egypt and the people were leaving Egypt and they all got bit out in the wilderness with the snakes and God said, look, fashion this serpent on the staff, hold the staff up, this bronze serpent, and when the people look upon it, they will be healed. That's also a typology of Jesus Christ. Remember when Abraham was asked to go sacrifice his son Isaac on the mount, and that is a type of the Father offering his son Isaac as a propitiation for our sins. Isaac is a typology, like a type of Jesus Christ. Abraham's a type of the Father. So what God was showing was, look, this is how much I love you guys. I want to bring you into fellowship with me. I'm going to offer my son. It's actually God's love letter to us. I know some of you guys might think that's kind of corny, but that's really what it is. The cross is God's love letter to us, showing how much he loves us. It's actually very good news. And by the way, when you guys read scripture, it wasn't the people like you and I that were enemies of Jesus Christ. Who were the biggest enemies of Jesus Christ in scripture? It was the religious people. It was the ultra traditional religious people. It wasn't people like Breakbot or Homo sapien or I. He would hang out with people like us. So what I'm saying is it doesn't make sense to go ahead and focus on that Homo sapien's the better jumper. Were you the better jumper, Homo sapien, or whoever it is? We all fall short. We're all in the same boat. Now, some of us may go a little bit further, but, you know, we all fall short of God's standard. Okay, here's another thing here. Now, what I'm about to say for the atheists in the room, you're going to be very, very offended. You're going to be very mad. I want you to get mad. I want you to get so mad that you change and you realize that you've been punked by atheism. I want you guys to get so mad that you realize, you say to yourself, you know what, Shock's right. I'm just a complete it for being punked into atheism. Now, follow through with me, guys. This is what you as atheists believe in. This is
the madness of atheism.
On atheism, on your worldview of atheism, this is not my argument. This is what you guys will admit. On your worldview of atheism, it all ends in death. That's how atheism ends. It ends in death. So let's see if I can type this here. Now, why does it end in death? Well, science has already shown, and you guys have to agree with science, science has already shown that unless God steps in, the universe is going to die. Everything in it is going to die. That means mankind will die. So when an atheist tells you that they're going to help society and they're going to build this great utopia, it's not really true, because the end result of atheism is death.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's quite obvious that the powers to be, the wicked Democrats, the Marxists, the progressive Democrats, they're trying to change the Christian foundation of America. And what we do here on this show is we'll do Bible studies, but we also will tell you the truth of our Christian American foundation. Do you know there were 250 founding fathers? All of them but 12 were Christians. Most of the founding fathers had Bible school degrees and seminary degrees. 56 signers of the Declaration, all of them but two were Christians. 54 out of the 56 were Christians. Even Jefferson said, liberty is a gift from God. If you read the Declaration of Independence, the founder said that your unalienable rights come from God. The United States, before World War I, they had a policy of non-interventionism. And what happened, it didn't work. They wanted the American people just not to be bothered with all the evil going on in the world. The next thing you know, it's at our doorstep. And so the United States got rid of the policy of non-interventionism, and they entered World War I. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as non-interventionism. When something evil is happening and you and I are silent, we do so wrong, so much wrong, because evil prospers. By our silence, evil prospers. And by our silence, wicked people will take control of our government. So we equip you on this show to meet evil head on and look at it eyeball to eyeball. And we teach you to say enough with the political correctness silliness. No longer will you bow down and worship at the altar of political correctness and filter everything you think, say, or do through this altar of political correctness. It's time to free yourself and say to hell with political correctness, ladies and gentlemen. As far as we're concerned, political correctness can go to hell, because that's where it belongs and that's where it came from. We will speak truth with boldness, without hesitation, and without apology. So no matter what evil people will try to do, they'll never be able to stop truth, because truth crushed to the earth will rise again. And no lie can live forever. Didn't Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? that means our public schools. He didn't say, well, don't go into the public government-run school. He said all the world. Over there into the public school. Jesus didn't say, don't inject the gospel into the government. He said, all the world, we will go over there into our government. This means everywhere. And the good news is Americans have always stood up and fought evil when it was time to do so. And I think we all know that now is the time to do so again. When the progressive Democrats, these wicked Marxists, try to destroy America with Marxism, we will go over there and debate with them. When militant atheists try to take away our God-given rights and push God out of schools and government, we will go over there and fight them also. When wicked, evil people want to indoctrinate your little children and then get them to have surgery without your permission to change their gender, even though you can't possibly change someone's gender scientifically, biologically, you know, we will be over there. Wherever evil and injustice lurk, you can be sure that true Christians will go over there to where it's at. This is Christian Church Online.
America is be true to what you're saying on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. but somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Christian Church Online. We got some free ebooks for you. Go to www.shockofgod.com. That's shockofgod.com. And also, you'll see the radio button there if you'd like to listen to more of our shows. Did you know you could download our shows for free? And also, if you go on iHeartRadio and do a search for Christian Church Online, you can follow us there also. So God bless you. May the Lord bless you and richly pour out His blessings upon your life and your family. May He watch over you. Have a great week.